May it please the court. The district court in this case lacked subject matter jurisdiction when it purported to confirm an arbitration award which recommended expungement of a record of disciplinary history in the Central Registration Depository, also known as the CRD.
Could you speak a little louder?
The district court lacks subject matter jurisdiction. The only
why do you have to get into that? I don't understand that. If you have a good argument under Rule 24A2, then you get into the litigation, right?
And yes, Your Honor.
Then you can make any argument you want, right?
Yes, Your Honor. And
let's get you into the litigation.
Absolutely. I'll go directly to that. Under 24A2, there are four components that the putative intervener, the Securities Commissioner of Maryland in this case, needs to establish. All four are readily established on this record. The first is that the motion to intervene was timely. In this case, the motion to intervene was filed one day after the NASD, now FINRA, the NASD elected not to oppose the recommendation of expungement. That was on March 20th. In fact, an amended petition to confirm was not filed until March 29th. The court did not enter its order confirming the stipulated award until April 9th. So I think there's little doubt that this was a timely motion to intervene. The principal argument that Mr. Klausner makes in this regard is that there is a three-month limitation period to file a petition to vacate, modify, or correct an arbitration award. That three-month limitation period under Title IX U.S.C. Section 12 of the Federal Arbitration Act relates only to a party's right to petition.
Let's just even go look at the words. Was the motion that you made a motion to vacate, modify, or correct the award?
No, it was not, and I'm simply...
The language of Section 12 on its face seems to have no application at all.
It has no application, and I'm simply addressing what I see as a principal argument on why this was not timely. With regard to the second component, which looks to the interest of the putative intervener, here, the Securities Commissioner of Maryland has a compelling interest in the preservation of accurate, complete disciplinary records. It seems to me that is self-evident on a number of grounds. The Securities Commissioner routinely receives calls from investors in Maryland asking whether a particular broker, agent, has any disciplinary history. If that history is wiped clean in a private arbitration, investors do not have that critical information that they need. Moreover, the Securities Commissioner makes decisions on registration, decisions on enforcement, and
aren't they in part owners of the records?
And that is another ground, Your Honor. The Securities Commissioner is a joint owner with the NASD of these records, and so there is a property interest which really finds its force in the public duty statutory mission of the Securities Commissioner.
Does the SEC come into this, or does it, with respect to these records? FINRA.
Okay. Yeah. I hope you don't ask me what that's for.
Their ownership interest is derivative of the SEC, or what?
No, Your Honor. The SEC approves the rules of the NASD, And in our brief, we've quoted language from an SEC release addressing Rule 2130 of the NASD rules, arbitration rules, and there, as we've quoted, it specifically contemplated that states, CLD member states would be permitted or, quotes, couldn't.
What I'm trying to tell you, there's no SEC, no argument by the SEC that it has any ownership interest by virtue of the whatever ownership interest that NASD has.
That is my understanding. And my understanding is that the contract here is one between the NASD and NASA, the North American Securities Administrators Association, and its various members, 67 states, provinces throughout North America. And so the SEC is not a party to that contract, which provides for the joint ownership of the CRD records and the NASD's maintenance of that database. But these are fundamentally, in for purposes of this case, fundamentally these are records of the state of Maryland and of all the states. We have obligations, the Securities Commission is the custodian of these records under Maryland's Public Information Act laws. So it seems to me, the second component, whether the Securities Commissioner has an interest, is readily established. Yes, sir.
Background question. What on earth did the state securities regulators agree to have the NASD, now FINRA, be their point man on this? I mean, what one does see in the record is strong indications that NASD was probably unreliable for this role. So it just seems crazy.
Well, Your Honor, I wouldn't want to characterize the NASD's role, but I do think the point suggested in your question goes directly to the fourth component, which is whether the NASD
yes, it does.
Adequately represents the state's interests. And I think that the state of Maryland, at which the Securities Commissioner is an arm of the state, can set its own, should be able to, under its state laws, make its own decisions about enforcement level. And certainly, the Securities Commissioner takes seriously her investor protection mission. So to that extent, without casting aspersions on the NASD, it's important for states to be able to step in at this stage once that petition to confirm expungement gets to court. After all, until then, the voice of state regulators cannot reasonably be expected to be heard. There's no court proceeding. We're not a part of the arbitration. As Your Honor pointed out earlier, we have no standing to petition to vacate or modify. And then I think I've already spoken to the third prong of intervention of right, which is whether the Securities Commissioner's interest would be impaired or impeded by denial of intervention.
Suppose you lose here, and the judge's order stands, and then suppose the FINRA now expunges the record. Suppose you sued FINRA. Judgment in this case would be irrelevant, right?
I think, Your Honor, I think that is right. I had not thought about that angle, but arguably there would be perhaps some claim that the state could have against FINRA with regard to...
Well, if it's a co-owner of the property, if one owner throws it away...
Exactly, yes.
Then I think there would be a claim. But, so I guess that, I mean, it's this sort of dual-edged aspect of 24A2 anyway.
Yes.
That you have to have an interest that can be affected. But of course, technically, you can't be affected until you're a party, unless you're a party. But I take it the practical argument is that someone, the NASD in this FINRA, will do something as a result of the litigation that will, at a minimum, expose you to all kinds of burdens.
Yes, it would, Your Honor. And I think the practical result of a denial of intervention and a final order of expungement and the actual expungement would be to revisit this more than 15-year process of working of the NASD and the member states working together to figure out how these records should be maintained. And it would throw this process into some disarray, and it would have to be revisited, and perhaps states would have to be involved in a much more burdensome way. I mean, it's not realistic for state securities commissioners to appear in these arbitrations, but certainly it seems to me that could be provided for by rule. That would be, I mean, there are thousands of these annually, and you know, we have 20 people in our securities commission who are all very, very busy. So that would not be particularly effective. Another, there's a number of ways one could spin this out. This expungement order would go only to the CRD records. It's not to say those disciplinary records could not be maintained in some other database. So the state would need to look to a variety of other solutions. But
can I ask you to address,
Your Honor,
address the commissioner's failure to bring up the confirmation judgment by even a protective notice?
Yes, Your Honor. The law, as we've found it, is that a putative intervener may not appeal from a judgment. It's not a party to that judgment. So there is an immediate appeal from the denial of a motion to intervene. And the case from this court is Alternative Research and Development Foundation versus Veneman, 262 F3rd 406. And that explains, and in fact, this goes to one of another argument that is made, which frankly I don't think has much weight, which is that this appeal is moot because there's been a final judgment below. And in that Alternative Research and Development case, this court had explained that one who has been denied the right to intervene under 24A2 gets an immediate appeal from that and has an opportunity then to go back under Rule 60 and challenge that judgment. And that,
I mean, isn't the rationale in all of these cases that we ought not, you ought, the party seeking to overturn the intervention and the court hearing it ought not to address the merits because the merits of that party's position has never been presented either by it or responded to by the other side. It can't possibly be moved, and there can't possibly be responsibility on our part to assess what you have presented. The first question is whether you have a right to participate.
That is exactly the rationale, as I understand it. I mean, we again assert that we had a right to be there and make these arguments. We were denied that right that we have under 24A2. So we never had the opportunity to make what we think are very compelling arguments against.
Now, your argument, if I'm understanding you correctly, your argument is that you were impermissibly denied the right to intervene, and once you decide that, Your Honors, you have a requirement to look sua sponte as to whether or not there's jurisdiction, and there is no subject matter jurisdiction, so don't remand for further consideration, dismiss. That's your argument.
That was the argument I was going to present first, but I this court certainly can go directly to the.
No, I mean Judge Williams was saying you had the first account for the intervention.
Yes.
But you're saying if you're successful on that, the court can then look on its own motion at whether or not there's subject matter jurisdiction.
Absolutely, Your Honor. That question of subject matter jurisdiction, of course, is one that is always before this court. We've raised it. We think it's a very clear case of there's absolutely no monetary, no allegation of monetary relief. If the court had decided adversely to the appellee, no money would have gone into anyone's pocket, and that decide in favor would no money would have gone into anyone's pocket. I see my time has expired. Yes, Your Honor.
Isn't a critical difference between what you've appealed and what Veneman appealed was they also brought up the denial of the Rule 60B motion.
It was.
That's why I'm asking. You didn't do that here.
We have not moved under 60B at this point.
Even a protective notice of appeal. I just see a
yes.
difference between this and Veneman. And if you're relying on Veneman, if you would address the difference between Veneman, which also brought up the, in a protective notice of appeal, brought up the denial of the 60B motion.
Well, I think the difference here is that we did not move.
What you would have thought of would have been a protective notice of appeal of the confirmation award.
Yes, that perhaps is one avenue that we could have taken, although we do think that the law is clear. We have an immediate appeal from the denial of intervention and then an opportunity to go directly to presenting the arguments. As Judge Edwards pointed out, we've never had the chance.
Did you cite Williams from our circuit, Williams versus Humbert Limited, 840 F. Second 72? Because that seems to be the
I believe
closest that I could find.
Your Honor,
the summary judgment award was not brought up, but the denial of the motion to intervene was. And the court said that subject to the district court's ruling on the subject of timeliness, the appellants have made out a case for intervention as of right and said summary judgment is not before the court, but if the party is permitted to intervene, it will be in a position to attack that judgment by proper motion and send it back.
Your Honor, I believe we did cite that in our opening brief.
That's the one I thought you ought to rely on.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I should ask you a substantive question.
Yes, sir.
Is there any precedent for the proposition that when A and B arbitrate, you can have the arbitrators can recommend that C do something, and then the court will issue an order that C should do something? That seems astonishing to me.
I must admit it was.
What's the legal basis for it?
It's an odd way to structure this. It seemed.
What I'm asking is, has it really been structured this way? I don't see how you could spin that out of the FAA.
As my understanding of how that must or should be interpreted would be that.
What's that?
I'm sorry. The fact that the arbitrator makes a recommendation of expungement rather than an award of expungement.
Because he has no authority over.
He has no
people who are in charge of expungement.
That's right. And under the rule, only a court of competent jurisdiction can actually. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What on earth creates authority for a court to issue such an order? I've never heard of anything like it. I think one would have to look very carefully to find a statute authorizing such behavior by a court.
I am not aware of any authority. I certainly I would inform the court if there were, but
yeah.
I think that that is very problematic, and I think that's probably something that Mr. Klausner should address.
Public yes. Council knows some statute that authorizes
it. Well, isn't that the very reason the state authorities are supposed to be in there? Because it's this practice of allowing a disciplinary complaint to be covered up by one party who gets money for it and the other party who is the one who was the subject of the discipline. There's nobody with an interest other than the state authorities in making sure that is not exposed.
I think that's Your Honor,
I mean,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right, and that's why the SEC release regarding the NASD rule contemplates intervention by states at the point when that petition to confirm is filed, and the state then needs to step in.
Oh, go ahead.
But you all, I mean, your notice relies on the FINRA notice, right?
Yes.
Not even intervene if you don't know.
We might not. NASD is as is required to be served with that petition, and then it's immediately transmitted to NASA, which then immediately transmits it to the member states. And here, as I said earlier, NASD passed. Very next day, we filed and and this is in one of the amicus briefs, I'm not going outside of the record, I mean, there is quite a unfortunate practice of the NASD.
Can you imagine if the medical profession handled it this way?
It's extremely problematic, and it's extremely problematic for the Maryland Securities Commissioner, which as a former assistant AG in that division has a very proud history of strong investor protection for the citizens of Maryland, and that's why we feel so strongly that the Attorney General of New York has taken a very aggressive position in intervening in these expungement proceedings, and unless we can establish as a legal matter that we're not only permitted but have a right to intervene in these, the system will not work. The system will need to be revisited. So we would suggest that the system could work as long as that right to intervene is recognized. Thank you. Thank you.
Morning. May it please the court. My name is Richard McGidd. I'm counsel for Mr. Klausner. Before I get started, I'd like to address something Judge Henderson stated, and you seem to indicate this was a disciplinary action. It is not a disciplinary action.
It is not a disciplinary.
No, it is not a disciplinary
right.
action.
It's a complaint for.
It's an allegation of.
It's not disciplinary.
Right. It's just a violation of the securities rules. Alleging that the securities, and these are, by the way, these are mutual funds, Your Honor. These are 3, 4, 5-star mutual funds that were being sold by Mr. Klausner, and the allegation was whether they were suitable or not, and that's the underlying issue.
Well, you know, for just a violation, he's got a whole bunch of them against him.
Well, they're not violations. They're just claims of unsuitability. And let me try to explain that a little bit.
Well, no, don't. Go answer right. Judge Williams. Sorry. We don't need all that. I mean,
all right, that's fine.
Legal questions right. here. Where do you have an award of expungement, which is what Judge Williams asked?
The award of expungement is written into the arbitration award itself.
It's a recommendation of expungement.
It is a recommendation because that's all the panel can do.
Well, they have an award of dismissal.
If you look at Rule 2130, which is the applicable rule that governs this contract relationship between Mr. Klausner, his customer, Ms. Lothian, and is administered by the NASD, it provides as follows. If the arbitrators make a recommendation, if there's an award of expungement and a recommendation by the panel that there be an expungement,
No, wait, you said two different things.
Well, it's a recommendation of expungement.
It's not an award.
It is not, well, it is an award.
An award is enforceable, typically in arbitration. A recommendation is nothing more than a recommendation. And in my understanding of arbitration in all realms, they are quite distinct.
Well, it may be just a matter of the language that's being used, because...
No, I don't think so.
If you look at...
Because the panel did two things.
Mm-hmm.
They awarded dismissal. They dismissed the claim. That is enforceable.
Your Honor, if you look at...
They recommended expungement.
They recommend expungement because they have to. If you look at Rule 2130, it provides that there is no expungement until you go to court and file a claim or a petition or an application for confirmation. And number two, that you name the NASD, in this case now FINRA, as an additional party defendant and serve them. Then and only then can that recommendation for expungement ripen into an award and thereby a judgment of expungement. It's the only way you can do it. You cannot, the panel cannot make an expungement. And that's written into, if you look at Rule 2130, that's exactly what it says. It provides that you have to, you are not in a position to get expungement until you go to court and make your application for confirmation, and number two, that you make the NASD an additional party defendant and serve them. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, there seem to be lots of reasons for it, but you mentioned a contract. You appear to see Rule 2130, I guess the underlying web of relationships, as extending the FAA so that courts, when they get an action to confirm an arbitration award, also have authority to issue orders to other people who were not participants in the arbitration.
Well, I don't know that they issue...
No visible interest in the arbitration.
Well, the NASD becomes a party to the arbitration by virtue of Rule 2130. They have to be. When you name them under Rule 2130, the NASD is made a party to the confirmation proceeding.
The confirmation.
Correct.
I understand that.
Correct.
But they haven't been a party to the arbitration.
No, they never were. And that's one of the main issue that we present to this court, because the right of intervention is not available to the Maryland Securities Commissioner in this case, because if you look at the language...
Not available where?
Under the Federal Arbitration Act, because if you look at the operative language, it's sections 9, 10, and 11. Each of those sections specifically say upon application by a party to the arbitration, and they recognize...
For what?
For the award.
They're not seeking to confirm the award.
To vacate it or to modify it.
They don't have to vacate the award.
Right.
The award is totally meaningless and trivial.
They have to...
Only when it becomes an order that it's a problem.
The proceeding under Section 9 provides that upon application for confirmation, the district court must enter the confirmation order unless the award is vacated, modified, or corrected. There is a must there, and the district court must do it. That's what the district court did.
Well, we're going around in circles because there isn't any award requiring expungement in the first place. So if the district court confirmed the award, the district court would not confirm expungement because expungement is not part of the award.
It is part of the award.
No, it is not. It's a recommendation.
And it has to be...
There's no arbitration concept to suggest what you're suggesting. I've just never seen it. An award and a recommendation are two different things.
The language of recommending expungement is because you can't get the expungement by the arbitrator. The arbitrators can't award expungement.
That's exactly right. So the only place you can get it is in the court. It becomes a separate issue, and an intervening party now has an interest to be there and be involved, because the arbitrators couldn't do it and didn't do it. So now that's an issue. And now an interested party who could not participate in the arbitration is properly before the court saying, you shouldn't do that.
Well,
they didn't get it and it shouldn't be done. And it doesn't have to be done. That's the whole point. Expungement is optional, and it's optional to the court as well. It's a new issue.
Your Honor, I respectfully, I understand what you're saying, but I respectfully disagree.
You can't disagree on any informed basis. You're disagreeing because it's in the interest of your party, but you're not. You have no authority to support what you're arguing.
Well, I'm not sure there's authority the other way either, but the point simply is that the...
Well, let's put it this way. If there's no authority anywhere, the logic of what I'm asserting trumps what you're asserting.
Well, I'm not sure, Your Honor. If you look at...
Well, you've got to give me something better than what you're saying because it's not there. The arbitration award is not an award of expungement. The party who is here now had no interest to be before the arbitrators, could not have been before the arbitrators.
But they still
don't... There is a new question before the court. The court does not have to grant expungement. There's nothing in the law that requires the court to grant expungement.
But the framework for analysis is the Federal Arbitration Act, and they can't get in the door through that Federal Arbitration Act because they are not a party to the arbitration.
No. They have an interest in a matter that is now before the court that was not resolved by the arbitrators.
Well,
and the only person who can resolve it is the federal court, the expungement.
Well, Your Honor, if we can fall back to another issue, which is there's a final unappealed decision that is before that they acknowledge. They didn't appeal the denial.
Judge Henderson just gave you authority in our circuit which refutes that suggestion, the notion that it's somehow moot.
Well, it's not necessarily moot, but the difficulty is when you don't have a final unappealed decision and the time has expired on it, there's only one thing you can do.
The logic of the intervention cases is that I didn't have my opportunity to participate, and it was an improper denial. And the logic is, if you're right, then you have now an opportunity to go participate. So whatever the court did has to be revisited with you as a participant.
Well, the difficulty is this. They claim the only way, if they can't appeal, if this court doesn't have jurisdiction under Rule 4A to extend the time for purposes of the appeal, there's only one thing they can do, and that's go through Rule 60. And under Rule 60, that is a backdoor appeal. What they're going to try to do is say that the judgment is void under 60B4. That's what they claim. And the problem is that it's not void. Because
there isn't a viable judgment there if they're correct that they were denied a right of intervention.
Well,
they have a right to appeal a denial of intervention, to participate. There's no longer a viable judgment. The district court has to revisit the case with this party included.
I mean, because you're suggesting...
Because they should have been a party. That's old news. That's not new news in the federal system. You can't have a litigation with a party missing and say, oh, it's too late because the judge issued a judgment and we really don't care that someone was excluded who should have been there.
Well, there's nothing that says they should have been there. Then it means every single.
That's
the 24. But if they win that, then your argument makes no sense. Then obviously if they should have been allowed to participate, an appellate court would say they have a right to participate.
I think I understand what you're saying,
yeah,
but
because if you put yourself on the receiving end of that, you would walk out horrified if we said, yeah, you really had a right, but it's too bad because the court issued a judgment. You would be stunned.
Well, Your Honor, all they had to do was appeal the denial of the motion.
No, all they had to do was appeal the denial of intervention.
Well, they did that.
And so if they win on that, they're in.
But they don't get back into the
Absolutely.
Main case.
What would the point of it be?
There would be no point of saying they could intervene. I'm not even understanding your argument.
Well,
I'm sorry. If they have a right to intervene and you're conceding that, what would be there would be no right.
We're not conceding they have a right to intervene because they haven't established the necessary components for it.
If we agree they have a right to intervene, then you're saying they still lose anyway. We're not going to let them participate.
For two reasons. One, because they can't intervene within the context of the Federal Arbitration Act. They lack the standing to proceed under that act. Because in order to vacate the award, which is the only thing they can do under that statute.
They don't want to vacate
the
award.
They don't care about vacating.
But then if they
want the recommendation not to turn into a court order.
Right.
That's all they want.
That's all they want.
Don't keep trying to switch it around.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I have nothing further.
Does Mr. Howard have any time remaining? All right, why don't you take a minute?
And I won't even take a minute unless the court has any questions. Thank you.